come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart 2015 Women's Bible Study in the Book of Mark, titled Servant, Sacrifice, Savior. If you'd like more information about this ministry, please go to www.refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Now let's get into the study.
If I would title this message, which I usually don't do, but if I would title this message in chapter 8 of the book of Mark, I would title it, Who Do You Say I Am? Because that is the most important part of this lesson. Who do you say that Jesus is? Now, we're going to go through the whole chapter as we usually do, but that is the crux of all that is in this message. And I know some of you already did your chapter 8 last week. You already had it ready, and I'm hopeful that you did it again, went over it again, and found new things in that. But before we get started, let's just pray, okay? And so, Father, we just come before you, Lord, and I pray, God, for your strength. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for your strength. I pray, Lord, for your goodness to be apparent. I pray, Lord, for your forgiveness to be filled in all of us, Lord, that we would just hear your voice. And in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray, God, that we'd just be so aware of your Holy Spirit. Let us know your presence, Lord. You are so precious. You are so precious to us. Going through this lesson has just caused us, Lord, to draw close to you and to want to be closer to you and to desire you and to know you, Lord, even as we are known. So, Father, I pray, God, that no matter what has happened to us before we got here, no matter what's going through our mind right now about got to do this, should be doing this, what about that, Lord, that we can just center in on what you have for us in this lesson, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So in chapter 8, we're going to be doing a little bit of turning of our Bible, but in chapter 8, in the first verses, we have the multitude increased. The multitude increased, and they were being very great, it says, and having nothing to eat, Jesus calls his disciples together. They had nothing to eat. These people have been following, literally following Jesus for 3 days. Now, I have been without food since Saturday. Last night, I had a cup of soup. Okay, I felt weak. At this moment, I'm asking for God's strength. But, you know, it's just that not feeling hungry. I wasn't, you know, I'm not contagious. I just want you guys to know. Just not feeling hungry. So, but with not eating, they were weak. What has Jesus been doing this entire time? For 3 days, he has been teaching them. They have been attentive to his teaching. Do you think there was rumbling going on of some more than stomachs? Do you think that there was anybody saying, oh man, I got to get out of here. It's time for lunch. I don't think so. I think Jesus being there, the fact that they had gone from far places to be there, they were excited about what they hung on his every word. When was the last time we hung on the words of God? When was the last time we read the word of God and we just got, oh, I just want to be here more. I just want to stay here. I don't want to move. Lord, as I'm praying, when was the last time? I don't even want to get up off my knees because of your presence, Lord. These people for 3 days were doing just that. And Jesus calls his disciples and he says, I have compassion for these people. I have compassion for these people. He didn't say, I'm concerned about these people. He didn't say, I'm worried about these people. He said, I have compassion on them. And then he asked them to feed them. He asked the disciples to feed them. And right away, what happens? Oh my goodness, what are we going to do? There's no love, blah, blah. Can you see it? And it started with Peter. I'm convinced it started with Peter. I have nothing to back that up other than just knowing his little personality was so speaking in tongues and everything, you know, because it was another language. But he's going off and they're going, we can't do it, we can't do it. How long ago was it that he fed 5,000? With what? A lot less than he had for the 4,000. And so he tells them in verse 5, Jesus says, how many loaves do you have? What do you have? Now, it's either Luke or John that talks about the fact that the young lad in the feeding of the 5,000 had some fish and some loaves of bread. But here, they have been 3 days without food. Sounds like children's ministry is doing fabulous. They have been 3 days. They don't have anything to glean from. And so Jesus says to the disciples, what do you have to give? Sometimes as leaders, and I'm including you guys in this leadership because everybody's teaching somebody. Sometimes we forget that I need to give all I've got. Number one, to Jesus, and number two, to the people that are around me. And so I need to be there. How many times have we forgotten the mercies and the provisions of the Lord? If he provided back here, he's going to provide now. So somebody was asking me how I was doing today, and I usually say just right, but you know what? I'm remembering his faithfulness. Today, I'm remembering his faithfulness, and I'm remembering my favorite scripture that says it came to pass. It did not come to stay. It came to pass. So remembering that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still has the solution. So trust him, give him your all, obey him, and see what he will do in your life. See what he will do. And so what did he do? Same story as with the 5,000. He took the loaves. He did what? He blessed them, held it up, blessed them, broke it, gave it, and then they collected, if you will, the glory. What would be for themselves afterwards. You see, it's the body of Christ that we're talking about here. He blessed the bread. He's the bread of life. He blessed the bread. He was broken for us. He gave all to us. And he got all the glory gathered up afterwards. That's what that whole thing speaks to me. Also in this, the number 7 is the number of completion. It is finished, Jesus, God said, when he created everything. It's finished. When Jesus was on the cross at that time, he said, it's finished. It's over. It's completed. So it's interesting that there's a 7 in this. They ate, they filled, they were filled again. And so then what happens? Immediately, they got into the boat with the disciples. They came to this other region. And who's there? The Pharisees are there. And remember, what are the Pharisees there for? They are there to catch him in something. They want to catch him in something. They want something that we can say that you are blaspheming. You are doing this. Remember, we're on the way to the cross right now. And so here are the Pharisees. They're there. And they came seeking a sign, it says. Show us a sign. Show us a sign that you really are who you say you are. Remember, he keeps saying to people, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. But I know that these Pharisees saw that there were people healed. There were people raised from the dead. There were people that were blind sight, which we're going to take care of today again. He'd raised them from the dead, healed the sick people, healed the blind. Demon-possessed people were set free. And this is not enough for the Pharisees. This is not enough. Because what are they looking for? They are so steeped in their tradition, so steeped in their religiosity, so steeped in the things of this is the way that we always do it, that they couldn't even see it. In John 6:30, it says, therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform? I stopped at that. Jesus is not a magician. He is not a performer. He's not a part of Cirque du Soleil. He is not a part of some troupe that's going through. He is the Son of God. He is God himself. And you are going to tell him, perform for me? Oh, no, she didn't. Mm-mm. What sign will you perform then that we may see it and then we will believe? Yeah, no. What work will you do? And they went on to say, our fathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven. So this is what they think is a miracle. Bread from heaven, fire from heaven, these healings, these setting people free. You know what? They were more concerned about the signs than they were about the people. Do we sometimes forget about the people? I can forget about people. Not very often. I love you guys very much. But they wanted to, sometimes we forget that it's about the people. It's not about the services, or it's not about this, or it's not about that. It's about the people. It's all about the people, and the religious leaders had forgotten that. They were hard-hearted and spiritually blinded by their traditions, by their rituals, by their we've always done it this way attitude. But let's not be quick to judge. How many of us have said, Lord, would you just show me a sign? And show me a sign. And he shows us a sign, but it's not the one we were looking for. Oh, yeah, so, you know, I go back to the Old Testament, where he said, okay, I'm gonna put the sheepskin on the grass, and only the sheepskin should have dew on it. Okay, oh, yeah, okay, so let's try that again. Okay, I'm gonna put the sheepskin down, and only around it should have it. See, he was looking for what God's sign should be to fit in with his decision. But God says he's not going to do that. The need for a sign is obvious evidence of unbelief. The need for a sign is simply a lack of faith. Faith believes what God has said. Faith believes what God has said. And it's so interesting to me. Yesterday was Martin Luther King Day, and I just happened to have on my little calendar with its little sayings, it said this, faith is taking the first step. This is by Martin Luther King. Faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. Faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. The only evidence we need is the witness of the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that mean? The witness of the Holy Spirit. You ever been in a place where somebody said, can I get a witness? Anybody been in a place like that? And the first time I heard it, I was going, is it a court? What? What are we doing here? Can I get an agreement? Can I get a witness? Can I get an agreement? What is that agreement? Can I get the witness of the Holy Spirit? What is the witness of the Holy Spirit? But that peace that surpasses all understanding that keeps our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's what we have in this whole thing. That peace. So don't seek after signs. Live in faith and trust God's word. Now we move on to down in verse 13, and they left and they're getting into the boat. And here's an exciting part. The disciples had forgotten to take bread. Oh, what a story this is. What a story this is. They have just been fed. They fed 4,000 with what they had on hand. They had fed, Jesus had fed, 5,000 prior to that and took up fragments from both of those. Oh, we only brought one loaf of bread. Oh, gosh, what are we going to do? Whatever will we do? We have one loaf of bread. Oh, gosh. And there's been such controversy over why would Jesus say that take heed that you beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Oh my gosh, he's talking about the fact that we don't have any bread. The one that provided for 4,000, the one who provided for 5,000 is worried that we only brought one loaf of bread. Oh my goodness. Guys, you're thinking with this, not this. I had in my notes that they were thinking like men, but I thought I should change it. But then I had to say it. So, but they're thinking like men, but they're thinking like women. Because we quickly forget. I look at this and I see Jesus looking at that one loaf of bread and going, here's an opportunity for a lesson. Not about the bread, but about the leaven. What an opportunity. What a visual we have here. They're all worried about that. And Jesus is just going, I'm sure that's what he said. I'm sure of it. Wondering, when are you going to get it together, guys? You're looking at the physical when Jesus wants us to look at the spiritual. And in this portion of our text, in verses 17 and 18, he said their hearts were hard, their eyes were blind, and their ears were deaf. Their hearts were hard, their eyes were blind, and their ears were deaf. He had said that to them back in chapter 4, that their ears were deaf. He had said that their hearts were hard back in chapter 6, verse 52. And now he's adding that you can't even see. You're also blind. And then he goes on in verse 19 and onward. He says, okay, so let's go back on this, guys. Let's go back on this. 5,000, how many did you take back? Okay. 4,000, how much did you take back? Okay. And it goes, how is it that you don't understand? Why do you not get it? Because we have a propensity for forgetting the good. We have a propensity for forgetting the good. Psalm 103. Oh, that's Habakkuk. Yep. Okay, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Here are his benefits. Here are the benefits. We can't just stop there. Because we say, I don't know, I've forgotten these good things. Well, he forgives all your iniquities. He heals your diseases. He redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed. Yeah. Okay. Like the eagles, I have to study how it is like the eagles. So I'm just saying, he renews our strength. He renews our strength. I'm in a time where I'm needing to be renewed. I'm needing to that strength that I used to know. Maturity ain't all it's cracked up to be. We quickly forget. When God does a great thing, like this 5,000, the 4,000, every one of our lives, God has done some great thing, and we have forgotten. When the next trial comes, we forget. So how is my day? I'm remembering his faithfulness. I'm remembering his faithfulness today, that I could be set free from this. So what about this leaven, though? So what about this whole thing about the leaven? What's the problem with the leaven? In the Bible, leaven or yeast is spoken of as a symbol of evil. A symbol of evil. At Passover season, Jews would have to remove every morsel, every crumb of bread that had leavening in it. You talk about spring cleaning. I wonder if that's where we got that idea. Because every corner of the house had to be cleaned out to make sure that there was not one little bit of leaven in that house. And that's in Exodus 12, 18 to 20. There was no leaven or yeast was allowed with the offerings. No leaven or yeast allowed with the offerings. Exodus 23, 18. 34, 25. Leviticus 2:11 and 6:17. Now you probably have all seen those little packets of yeast or a little cake of yeast. Who has never seen that? Yeah, all of us have. That little cake of yeast, little thing like that. That little package of yeast with those little tiny granules in it. You mix it into the dough. You hide it in the dough. You mix it really well so that no one else can tell that it's actually in the mixture. And what happens? It infects the whole loaf. And it makes it rise to be more than it was. Interesting. Sin, evil, like yeast, starts small and is hidden, but it spreads and soon infects the whole, Galatians 5:9. The Bible uses yeast as a picture of false doctrine in Galatians 5:1-9. It's a type of not dealt with sin in the church, 1 Corinthians 5. And it's likened to hypocrisy in Luke 12:1. We need to make sure that we are avoiding false doctrine. It only takes that much of a false doctrine to get in and to be absorbed. And before you know it, it is all over the place. Anyone ever heard of the Toronto blessing? The huge thing of angels' feathers dropping, holy laughter, people barking like dogs, because this is all part of the blessing. This is false doctrine. And it's grown into something that's huge. And I'm talking with a gal right now who's trying to come out of all of that and restructure her mind. Do you know that's not the way it is? But you see, the yeast got in. Some church leader said, oh yeah, that's a good idea. I don't see it in scripture, but that's okay. Because you know what? That's like the Sadducees. Very liberal in their doctrine. We'll just accept it in. Yeah, it's fine. As long as everybody's happy. As long as you're not hurting anybody. That's fine. That's fine. Let it in. And what do you have? You have destroyed people. People who think that they're more than they are. We're broken. Here Jesus is talking about the leaven of Herod. And the leaven of Herod speaks of the political. How many of you know we cannot trust the leaven of the politics? Mm-hmm. It is the most interesting year I have ever had in getting ready to vote. But I am praying, I am praying, I am praying, and I am encouraging all of you, although I refuse to get completely absorbed by it, I want to encourage you, vote wisely. Pray about who God wants you to vote for. Because if you write somebody in or if you vote for someone who you know can't make it, it is a wasted vote completely. Pray and vote. Pray and vote. That's as political as I will get now. He said to be careful of the leaven of the Pharisees. That is legalism. The leaven of legalism. Everything's got to be done this way. You don't move to the right or to the left. It has to be done this way. Doesn't matter if it's scriptural or not. We've always done it this way, so we're going to continue to do it this way. All the laws that the Pharisees and the religious leaders brought in, those were not scriptural laws. A number of them were not scriptural laws. How far can you walk from your home be okay with the Sabbath? It's a law that they put together it's only this much feet, and so people got a way around it because it can only be this far away from your home, and so they would go before sunset on Friday, they would go and they would go this far from their home, which was the allotted amount, and they would put a cup. And then they would go that far again from the cup to the next thing that came from their home so that they could make treks along the way and still keep the law. So Pharisees, legalism, we want to stay away from that. And the Sadducees I already talked about. So don't let these leavens be in you. And so then I love at the end of all of what they said, he said, how is it that you don't get it? Just how is it that you don't get it in verse 21? How is it, guys? You've been with me this long, you still haven't gotten it. And then in verse 22 through 26, we have the healing of the blind man. I am so encouraged by this healing of this blind man. Now we have in Scripture, in the New Testament, seven. You like that? Seven. Seven. Seven blind men who have been healed in the New Testament. And all of them were healed differently. He has no formulas for healing. It's just him. It is a work of the Holy Spirit. So we see in this that it wasn't instant. Why? We have nothing in Scripture. The reason for the gradual healing is not given in Scripture, so I can't make a decision on that. But I can learn from that because of this, I believe this gradual healing gives me hope. So that when I ask for healing, when I pray for healing and someone's not healed instantly, I still have that hope because God said he heals all my diseases. So in 103, which we just read. So I have the hope that he's going to do it. When healing's not instant, I'm going to keep asking and I am going to keep trusting God. Where is my trust? Is it in the healing or is it in the Lord? Where's my hope? Is it in the healing or is it in the Lord? It's got to be in the Lord. Got to be in the Lord. I told you before when praying for the lady and the Lord saying, not right now. I'm not going to heal her right now. Well, to me, and, you know, she was discouraged that she wasn't healed instantly. But she also had the hope that he's saying, not right now. Just not right now. That hope that it was going to happen. And you can go to Habakkuk 3:17, which we're not going to go to because we're running out of time. But in Habakkuk 3:17, it talks about, still I'm going to praise, though I have nothing, though the Lord, it appears, has taken everything away from me. I have nothing. I still will praise him. And there is evidence in this portion of our text that seems to say that the man became blind, that he was not born blind, because he understood what a tree looked like, and he recognized men. So I see men as trees walking. So there must have been something that he became blind. In that itself is a lesson, that he would become blind. He became a weak and could become blind. His probably happened by an accident or a disease. We can become blind to his grace. We can become blind to his forgiveness. We can become blind to his goodness when we allow ourselves to be infested with just a little sin, just a little leaven can blind us. Then we move into this verse 27 on down, and he says, what do people say about me? Who do people say that I am? Their answer, the disciples' answer, is just what everybody was saying. You know, people who listen to opinions and instead of convictions, they said, well, we think that you're John the Baptist. We think that you're risen from the dead, or you're another prophet, or you are Elijah. And he goes on to say, but who do you say I am? See, I don't care what people say that I am. I do care. It hurts my feelings if you're mean to me, but, you know, like anybody, but I've not experienced that in this group. I know there are people who don't like me. I know that there are people who have said things about me. I have heard things that people have said, so not in this group. So, okay, moving right along. Nobody cares. I don't care what people think about me, but it's so important that we care what people think about Jesus. So important. He is the Son of the living God, we see in Matthew 16:16. He is the only Savior of sinners. Our confession of Jesus Christ is a matter of life and death. It's a matter of life and death, John 8:21 and 24, and 1 John 2:22 and 27 through 27. And 1 John 4:1-3. And then Jesus says, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And then it says that Peter said, you are the Christ. Oh, right, you have said. Oh, can you see Peter now? In Matthew, we have in Matthew what he said exactly. He said, oh, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. So right away he says, Peter, excuse me, Peter, this was not your idea. It was given to you by God. It was given to you by the Holy Spirit, my Father which is in heaven. So don't get too wrapped up in that. Matthew 16:16 is that verse. And so how exciting to be in that place. You are the Christ. And then he told them, don't tell anybody, it's not time yet. And then what did he do? He began to teach them about how wonderful he was, how great he was, how all of the wonderful things he's going to continue to do. No, he began to teach them about what is about to happen. Anybody listening today to what is about to happen? Are we seeing what's about to happen in our world today? Jesus is telling these disciples, I am going to suffer. I am going to be crucified. I am going to be risen. I'm going to die. I'm going to rise in 3 days. Now, how confusing this must have been for these guys to hear this, for his disciples to hear that Jesus says he's going to be rejected by the religious leaders. Isn't this the guy we've been looking for? He's the Messiah. Isn't he the one? Why would they do that? And Jesus goes on to tell them. And so as Jesus was telling them this, and he's all done, it appears, he's all done, and Peter says, excuse me, Jesus, excuse me, could we talk? And he quietly rebukes him. Quietly rebukes Jesus. That's brave. He takes him aside and rebukes him. See, one minute, Peter's being led by the Holy Spirit. And the next minute, he is thinking like an unbeliever. Oh, far be it from you. Does it sound familiar? Has anybody else ever found themselves in that place? Oh, I'm sorry. When we argue with God's word, we open the door to Satan's lies. When we argue with God's word, we open the door to Satan's lies. And so God calls us to something so much greater. When we find we're in a place of compromise and wanting the glory without the suffering, believing Satan's lies, God gets our attention. Revelation 3:19. God gets our attention. Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. He got Peter's attention. See how he turned around? I get a picture that his back was to the disciples. Peter's done talking to him. And it says that he turned around. He turned around and looked at his disciples, and he rebuked Peter. And he said, "Get behind me, Satan." You all have all read that scripture, so you know. He goes on to say, whoever will come after me. He called all of the people to himself. Called all of the people to himself. And he said to his, and he included the disciples as well, and he says, this is what I want you to do. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. He is the way, the truth, the life. Yes, deny yourself. That is, surrender completely to him. Take up your cross. Identify with him in suffering and in death. And follow me obediently. Remember last week, we talked about Teresa Keenan and what she said. I'm willing to be obedient whether he wants me to go or to stay. I will be obedient. In verse 35, we are to lose, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel's sake will save it. What will it profit a man if we gain the whole world and lose our own soul? To lose yourself is not an act of desperation, but rather an act of devotion. But personal devotion must lead to practical, everyday stuff. If my devotion time is not changing the way that I treat people, then something is wrong with my devotion time. I'm being devoted to the wrong thing. It should go out to the people, this lost world, not for my glory, but for his glory. I am reading in that book that I told you about last week. I just finished reading about Rosa Parks, and I want to do more for others. I want to do more for others. As I read these stories of women who have just done so much, I am so frustrated with myself right now about being old. I hate it. I hate it because, you know, I want to have that strength I used to have. I want to have the ability to do the things I want to have. I want to have the ability to encourage other people to move forward. I want to keep going. I want to keep moving furniture around. I want to keep doing these things. And as I was on my knees about this and complaining, I was complaining to the Lord that this is not fair for me to be this way. And he said, "You're normal, honey." So, oh, great, I'm just normal. I thought that was a setting on the dryer. But I can't do as much as I used to do. And so as I was on my knees before the Lord, I just want to do more. And the Lord said, "You're doing it. You're doing more because you guys are going to pick up. And you're going to take that message. And you're going to move that furniture. And you're going to stand in the gap. And you're going to do those things. All of you are going to do those things." Oh, it profits me nothing if I gain the whole world and lose my own soul. Profits me nothing. This world is all I got, profits me nothing. I cannot bear the thought of living a life without Jesus, and especially someone I know dying without Jesus. I want to be found proclaiming his name at every opportunity until the day I die. In fact, at my funeral, I'm going to have them sing the song, "Go tell the world. Tell the world the message. Take it everywhere, to every tribe and nation." That's my last chance. That's my last chance to share the gospel at my funeral. I'm excited. So, Father, I thank you for these precious ladies. I thank you, Lord, for the grace that you've poured out on us. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Father, for your presence. I thank you, Lord, that we have been brought to a place of thankfulness, of seeing our need for forgiveness, seeing our need for your grace and to pass it on to other people, Lord, for your mercy and to pass it on to other people. We are thankful, Lord. We are blessed women beyond measure. And so, Lord, as these ladies get in their small groups, I know that they have more in their stuff than we have ever talked about this morning, Lord. But I pray, God, that as they love one another, as they search your scriptures, as they pray for one another and just be together, Lord, in that fellowship, talking about you, Lord, that you would bless them and encourage them and strengthen them. And may they go out of here today, Lord, with a strength that they didn't know when they came in. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.